Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of In the Money. My name is Andrew McGowan, part of our trading strategy desk here at Fidelity. And with me today, as always, is Tony Zhang, Chief Strategy Officer and co-founder at Options Play. Tony, it's been a very interesting and volatile week since last Thursday. Very glad to have you back on. How have you been?
Thank you so much, Andrew. I've been well. Like you said, there's been a lot of volatility in the markets here, especially over the last 12 hours. So hopefully we can help digest some of that and help people understand how to navigate it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's great to have you back again to share these insights with our clients. Today is Thursday, April 3rd. There's a lot happening in the market, as you mentioned. Tariff news coming out yesterday, the market's overnight reaction being negative, declining approximately 3.5% in the overnight session, and finding some downside follow through so far in the cash session here today. So on that note, can you share with us what's on your radar and help us make sense of how to use some of these major news events and how we can specifically use that to impact the options traders watching this event?
Yeah, absolutely. As you said, the only thing that really investors are paying attention to right now and trying to digest was yesterday's tariff news that came out after the close. Largely, I would say the tariff announcement was a bit more aggressive than expected, especially for some of the major trading partners that the US has in Asia. And that's part of why the market sold off fairly heavily after hours, and even in today's cash session, continued a little bit further of that sell-off here. But one thing I will say, that the silver lining in all of this is that despite the fact that we had more aggressive tariffs than what we were expecting, what we did manage to remove was a lot of the uncertainty around what tariffs were going to look like. So I think that by removing that uncertainty is generally a positive here for the market, despite the sell-off here. And that's part of what could start to bring in potentially a bit of a bottom to this sell-off that we've seen here since the start of March. If you look at the S&P 500, we initially formed the double bottom at 5,500. And as of today's open, we were looking like we were just about to hold that 5,500 double bottom. Now, obviously, today, right now, we're trading a little bit lower from that, but not much more. And price action hasn't been all too bad here during today's session. So, we really have to pay attention to that 5,500 level here at the end of this week and see if markets can get back above that level. I think that would be important for markets to potentially to find a way to stabilize it. Otherwise, if we do close below that 5,500 level here at the end of this week, our initial downside target, the first level of support here is around 5,400. But I would imagine that we could potentially trade down to the next level of support, which is around 5,100 here to the downside. But overall, we are starting to see signs that the sellers on this last sell-off that we've seen here since the all-time highs back in March is starting to show some levels of exhaustion here. We're seeing that sellers are not having the same type of velocity as we would typically expect of, further downside. We've seen that the VIX is not trading at recent highs. So the fact that we've gotten to new recent lows, but the VIX is not at recent highs, is also another indication that markets are perhaps not as concerned about a much bigger pullback here. And I think largely that's due to the fact that there's now a lot more certainty around what tariffs are going to look like versus the last month or so. We were very uncertain as to what things were going to look like. But I will say probably the biggest uncertainty that still remains at the moment is really how other countries will respond to the tariffs that were put in place as of yesterday. But the fact that the US exports a lot less than they import is going to largely limit the net impact on that. And we're starting to already see signs that other countries are looking like they want to negotiate and they want to try to work with the US to try to lower some of these tariff rates. And I think if that was to happen, that would be a net positive here for equities. But I think the net beneficiary of all of this is really kind of safe haven assets such as bonds and gold. We've seen bonds recently, if you look at a chart of TLT, the bond ETF, after a rally here over the last couple of months, we've consolidated a bit over the last few weeks, and now that's starting to break out here again, and that's in conjunction with lower yields on the 10-year. And That's due to the fact that if you look at economic conditions and the economic data that's starting to come out, ISM data recently just came out where we're starting to move into contraction territory. We've seen consumer sentiment sour by a substantial amount here over the last 3 weeks, and I'm sorry, last 3 months, and I expect that that likely will continue given the kind of the tariff environment that we're currently in. And those are all things that are going to change the Fed's expectations for when they might cut rates. And we're seeing lower interest rates as a result of that. And that overall can be a bit of a tailwind here for equities. A lot of things to digest. I think it's going to be difficult to ex know exactly how this is all going to play out here. I think it's going to take quite a few days and probably a few weeks before we have a little bit more clarity as to how markets are going to react. But we do have earnings season kicking off at the end of next week. You have major reports like Delta and JP Morgan that are reporting at the end of next week. That's going to provide quite a bit of clarity as to the shape of the U.S. consumer, because those companies typically give, set the tone with regards to the outlook and guidance for consumer spending going out for the rest of the year. And I think that's going to be an important read for customers or investors at the end of next week. And at the moment, I still think the biggest risk here to the overall market and the overall economy is the U.S. consumer. The tariff policies and around the uncertainty around the tariff policies have certainly change habits for how willingly consumers will spend, and the U.S. economy is largely driven by the U.S. consumers. So that's really kind of the biggest risk that I see to the U.S. economy, and that is what could turn this further south here from where we are. But in the short run, the price action so far is looking a little bit more stable than I think what investors were concerned about at the open today. And hopefully we see a little bit more stabilization here by the end of this week.
Absolutely. I appreciate the insights, Tony. We've been looking at very similar things, it seems. As you mentioned, quite a bit of downside in the overnight session, but it's a decent amount of digestion so far during the day's session here in particular. Coincidentally enough, the last time that you and I were presenting together, the S&P was testing its support at a 300-day simple moving average, a much longer-term proxy of trend. And bulls certainly wanted to see that continue to hold to keep that longer-term trend intact. And that level also coincided with that 5,500 level of support that you had mentioned. So far, we found some acceptance below it, but we've been testing that range between 5,400 and 5,500. So it goes to that concept of what's called polarity in technical analysis, the idea behind support becoming resistance, or is this the beginning of any sort of failed breakdown? That's what we're looking to see have happened. So on that note, if you would like to get any daily live updates and market briefings on these important themes, please join the trading strategy desk at rfidelity.com/coaching for those live coaching sessions. So that being said, I know you have a trade idea to discuss with us today, Tony. What is the first trade idea, or how can we think about some opportunities that are out there?
Yeah, I think in this market condition, it's really difficult sometimes to decide what directional view are you going to take here with the markets. The fact that we've seen such a violent sell-off here overnight and a bit of continuation into the session here today, I think most investors will look at this market as somewhat bearish, right? We've broken below that 5,500 double bottom support. You have momentum that's clearly negative. We just entered correction territory. I'm sorry, yeah, beyond correction territory here in the S&P 500. I think, for a lot of investors, you're looking at this and you're saying, here are opportunities to maybe enter some bearish positions here. But from my perspective, I actually want to take a bit of a contrarian approach here because we've sold off pretty heavily here, pretty heavily over the last 24 hours and even for the past month or so. I think that you have a lot of beaten down growth stocks that are poised for a bit of a rally here, especially as we start to see a little bit more clarity from tariffs. And hopefully in the next couple of weeks, we start to get some better news with regards to other countries negotiating with the U.S. to reduce some of those tariffs. And I think, the international exposure that some stocks have, such as in Alphabet, provides a potential opportunity for a bit of a bounce here now that we've sold off so heavily across the board. So if you look at Alphabet as a stock, this is after breaking out to, all-time highs around $200 just in February. The stock has pulled back substantially since then. You've seen about a 25% decline in the stock in just the last couple of months, and has pulled back to a pretty important support level around 150. It was a major support level, and not only have we bounced off that level, there were some signs that sellers were exhausted on this recent sell-off, where we see some positive divergence with momentum. What that means is that we're seeing lower lows in price, but momentum is no longer making lower lows. And that's a good sign that sellers are potentially starting to get exhausted. And that is the potential reversal for the stock to go from bearish back to bullish. So that's from a timing perspective, I think that that aligns quite well for the current market conditions that we're in for a potential bounce. This is the type of trade that is somewhat speculative in nature. And a lot of traders might call this the type of trying to catch a falling knife, if you will. And these are the types of trades as a contrarian that I love to find, because this is really where you could potentially get into a trade very early from a trend reversal perspective. And I think the timing is optimal for that. And from my perspective, just looking for trades that from a timing perspective that look great is not enough. And that's really where I really like Alphabet from a fundamental perspective. We're trading at about 17 times forward earnings on Alphabet, which is about a 20% discount to both the industry and the S&P 500. So you're trading at a very large discount from a valuation perspective. Yet if you look at the actual business itself, Alphabet's expected to grow EPS by about 13-14%, which is in line with the industry. It's expected to grow revenues by about 11%, which is in line with the industry and well ahead of the average S&P 500 stock. And more importantly, net margins at 28% is nearly double the industry's net margins and nearly triple the S&P 500's net margins. So you have a company that's growing at a very healthy clip given the size of where of Alphabet. You have a company that's very profitable, with 28% net margins, yet it trades at a 20% discount to the entire industry and the market. And that's really why I feel a lot more comfortable trying to catch this falling knife here in Alphabet as it reaches this major support level and starts to show signs of exhaustion on that sell-off. So I think the best way to try to capture a potential bounce here is to actually utilize an option strategy with a call vertical, buying a call vertical. Specifically, I'm looking out to go out to the May expiration, and I'm looking at buying a slightly out of the money call option, the 155 call option, and at the same time selling a 170 call against that. Earlier today, you can spend about $5.50, 15 cents rather, to buy that debit spread. And what that means is you're risking a total of $515 per contract with an upside potential of just shy of $1,000, $985 per contract if Alphabet managed to clear back above 170 at that May expiration, which is not that far away from where we are just a few weeks ago with this particular stock. So, that's really why I like this 2-to-1 risk reward ratio that you're roughly getting here on this type of debit spread, so that if you do see a bounce here in the overall markets and these beaten down growth stocks bounce alongside with it and hopefully bounce a little bit higher than what the market is doing, that's really where this type of strategy could pay off, where I'm risking a relatively small percentage of the stock's value in order to get a roughly 2-to-1 risk reward ratio if we do get a bounce here.
Absolutely. Thanks for that excellent breakdown again, Tony. I always like to point out that this is another example in which traders can really combine a variety of perspectives that both include a fundamental as well as a technical approach, especially with respect to a broad macroeconomic moment and how that could impact a specific equity. On top of that, though, it's a great example of how traders can use options to efficiently allocate to risk. When traders are considering different strategies, the question of one leg or two is generally one of our more popular questions. And as you mentioned, one of the benefits of this approach is that predefining of the risk and reward ratio that helps traders plan for the different variety of outcomes, both in the event that they are right, but also maybe even more importantly, in the event they are wrong. It adds to that capital efficiency of knowing that our maximum risk is that downside and that premium being fully lost. But that being said, now that we have covered this new trade idea, it's time to review a trade from a prior episode, in fact, a recent prior episode. These look backs are always very helpful for newer options traders. It helps them to see these risk and reward opportunities and how they have played out in the real world. So, with that being said, Tony, which trade are we looking back on?
Yeah, just last week, and I think the timing on that was quite strong here. You know, we laid out a hedge for the S&P 500, being concerned that markets were reaching kind of a major resistance level and was getting rejected at that, and we were concerned that we're going to pull back to that 540 level here to the downside, and that's largely where we ended up here today. So we bought the May 570 540 put vertical here earlier last week. We paid about $8.55 for that debit spread. That debit spread is now trading nearly double of what we paid for that at around $16.33. And the question I think for me was, you know, do we kind of take profits on this particular trade, or do we take profits and also roll it down and maybe buy some further downside exposure here? But given the what we just spoke about on at the top of the show with regards to you know, there's seemingly some signs that ex sellers might be getting exhausted here to the downside, and we just happen to be just a few dollars shy of that lower strike here on the put spread. I think at this stage, my preference is to simply just to close out this trade and see how markets respond here by the end of the week to decide whether it's worthwhile to continue to buy further hedges and hedge further downside, or maybe wait to see if there's a bit of stabilization and we get a little bit of rally here. So I think at the moment, the best thing to do for me, in my opinion, is to close out this trade, take the profits, and wait and see a little bit over the next couple of days and see how markets digest the news from last night.
Absolutely. Yeah, that look back really does demonstrate the power of active management, why it's important to always have a clear outlook on price, time, and volatility. Even more so on spreads like this one, it does always become important to have that continued thought process of what is still out there from a risk and reward profile as it is continuing to play out. Because this trade, as you mentioned, has captured nearly a 100% gain and a substantial amount of its overall maximum gain. But sometimes traders can really anchor themselves to capturing the entirety of that maximum gain that they position themselves for the onset of the trade, overlooking the potential for it to turn around on them and that remaining risk that may still be exposed in this position. As you mentioned, this allows us to capture these profits and move on to the next opportunity. So, that being said, that does bring us to a close. I want to thank all of our viewers for tuning in here today. Don't forget to tune into the Trading Strategy Desk's follow-up session hosted by myself tomorrow, Friday at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can sign up for that class by going to fidelity.com/in-the-money-follow-up. We also offer a Fidelity Active Investor newsletter where we strive to provide meaningful and timely trading insights right to your inbox by going to fidelity.com/activeinvestorweekly. We're looking forward to seeing you all next week. Until then, everyone take care.
Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or, if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Options trading entails significant risk and is not appropriate for all investors. Certain complex option strategies carry additional risk. Before trading options, contact Fidelity Investments by calling 800-544-5115 to receive a copy of Characteristics and Risks of Standardized Options. Supporting documentation for any claims, if applicable, will be furnished upon request. There are additional costs associated with option strategies that call for multiple purchases and sales of options such as spreads, straddles, and collars as compared with a single option trade. Technical analysis focuses on market action, specifically volume and price. Technical analysis is only one approach to analyzing stocks. When considering which stocks to buy or sell, you should use the approach that you are most comfortable with. As with all your investments, you must make your own determination as to whether an investment in any particular security or securities is right for you based on your investment objectives, risk tolerance, and financial situation. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Greeks are mathematical calculations used to determine the effect of various factors on options. Views expressed are as of the date indicated, based on the information available at that time, and may change based on market or other conditions. Unless otherwise noted, the opinions provided are those of Options Play and are not necessarily those of Fidelity Investments or its affiliates. Fidelity does not assume any duty to update any of the information. News, commentary, market data, and research reports are from third-party sources unaffiliated with Fidelity, unless otherwise noted, and are provided for informational purposes only. Fidelity does not endorse or adopt third-party content. Fidelity makes no guarantee that the information supplied is accurate, complete, or timely, and does not provide any warranties regarding results obtained from their use. Information provided in the podcast is general in nature, is provided for informational purposes only, and should not be construed as investment or tax advice. Fidelity Investments disclaims any liability for any direct or incidental loss incurred by applying any of the information in this podcast. This podcast is intended for U.S. persons only and is not a solicitation for any Fidelity product or service. This podcast is provided for your personal non-commercial use and is the copyrighted work of FMR LLC. You may not reproduce this podcast in whole or in part in any form without the permission of FMR LLC. Any screenshots, charts, or company trading symbols mentioned are provided for illustrative purposes only and should not be considered as an offer to sell, a solicitation of an offer to buy, or a recommendation for the security. Options Play and Fidelity Investments are independent entities and are not legally affiliated. The third-party trademarks appearing herein are the property of their respective owners. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.